Matter movement led to the killing of the cops. Your response?
That's obviously poppycock. I mean, President Obama is under a lot of criticism and a lot of pressure from the right wing to distance himself from Black Lives Matter. That would be like distancing himself from his own children. I think that he should be pressured instead to give support to Black Lives Matter because they are the hope for the future.
Historian Charles Horn, I want to thank you for being with us. Among the books, The Counter-Revolution of 1776, Slave Resistance and the Origins of the United States of America. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You know that trees provide wildlife facilities and can raise the value of your home. They can also lower your air conditioning costs up to $175 a year. So help yourself and others by planting trees.
Hi, this is Adrienne Barbeau. Every year, hundreds of homes located near our nation's wildlands go up in smoke, and that's something which often can be prevented. If you live near forest, park, or wildlands, like I do, take a moment to learn how to make your home or cabin survivable. Go to the internet to firewise.org or write to the Interior Department at Firewise, Washington, D.C., 20240. Take a moment, save your life and your memories.
Did you know that 1 acre of the forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and puts out 4 tons of oxygen? This is enough to meet the demands of 18 people for a year. Trees are very important to us and they help us survive.
Brought to you by the students at Murphy Junior High School.
Did you know that 1 acre of the forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and puts out 4 tons of oxygen? This is enough to meet the demands of 18 people for a year. Trees are very important to us and they help us survive.
Brought to you by the students at Murphy Junior High School.
And technically brought to you by you, Emmanuel, because you went to that
junior high school. Yeah, I spent the worst years of my life there.
The worst years of your life spent there at Murphy.
Awful. It was awful.
Awful junior high school.
Or one day I'd come back, and I will.
Well, thank you, everyone there, and you, for that important message. And I like mixing in the benefits of trees with the dangers of wildfires because the urban interface is something that, you know, we should be aware of as the population grows and we expand ourselves into forests. And with that, it is 6:01 here at WUSB Stony Brook. That's 90.1 in the frequency modulation band. You can also stream over the internet at WUSB.FM. There's archive playlists from music programs, schedules, and other important information. Also ways you can donate when we're not doing a fund drive. We certainly welcome your contributions. Support community radio. It's 6:02. That means it's time for Off the Wall. Yes, welcome. Hello, I am Kyle, and I am joined by Emmanuel, who's right here.
Hey, here I am, right over here.
There you are.
Wow. Things are going smoothly this week. I don't want to jinx it, but things are going very smoothly.
No, say it. Say it.
Everything is good. The temperature is fine. People are in a good mood. Equipment's working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking clearly. Getting things done, too. We're preparing for the conference next weekend. Not this weekend coming up.
It is. It's
No, it's not this weekend coming up.
No, it's not this weekend. It is the one after, I believe.
I hope so.
The sort of end of July. And
not quite the end of July. Almost the end of July, because there's another weekend after that.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. It's the almost end of July. That is when the 11th Hope Conference will be. It will take place.
It's what everybody is talking about.
That's all they can say.
People are saying the conventions are coming up. I don't know why they're putting it plural, but, I guess because there's a couple other conventions, too, and they're just sort of including them to be polite. You might have heard that Democrats decided to, hitch their wagon to Meteor, I guess.
We saw it coming.
Yeah, and so they're having theirs right after ours, so to sort of bask in the limelight. And I think the Republicans, too, are planning something. What, a week from today? Is that what they're planning? A week from today, really, Donald Trump is going to be in Cleveland. You know what? Cleveland, Donald Trump, those are two things that kind of deserve each other. That's nasty. I'm sorry.
Do they?
There's good people in Cleveland.
There are.
But they want to get out of Cleveland. I'm pretty sure of that. So, no, I'm kidding.
No doubt.
I'm not sure what I'm kidding, but yeah, I'm kidding.
So that is taking place. We will all know. We will know. He will be crowned. Whatever takes place, we will be aware.
What will we know? What exactly will we know?
We will know what is said. We'll know the tenor, the platform, I believe, was worked out recently in the last couple of days.
If you mean by platform the actual physical stage, I am interested in that. I'm interested in the materials they use to construct that. But if you mean any other kind of a platform that the Republican Party might have, I don't think there's much there.
You mean like trapdoors?
Oh, I'd be very interested in those. Wouldn't that be so? Oh, wow, what I would pay to have a trapdoor just... Oh. Imagine that. How would Trump get out of that one?
That could be really, really interesting. I'm not sure what kind of staging. Maybe there's some planks. I'm not sure how that works.
I want to talk about an old tradition that actually was popular here at Stony Brook called pieing. You know what pieing is? You ever see someone get pied?
I remember it vaguely, like in vague memory, but I don't recall seeing it recently or that often.
It used to be something that every politician could expect to have happen to them at one point or another.
In their career or in their campaign cycle?
Yeah, well, they get a pie in the face. You
okay.
know, it's all in good fun. Well, you know, there's a political statement, too. But it was something that, we kind of, like, lived with because it was... It was unexpected. I'm going to do the Wikipedia page right now on pieing.
There were a lot of shoes, I know, in the Bush administration.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
The flying shoe.
But pieing is the act of throwing a pie at a person or people. I don't know how you throw it at people. You'd have to throw many pies at people. This may be a simple practical joke, but it also can be a political action when the target is an authority figure, a politician or a celebrity, and it can be used as a means of protesting against the target's political beliefs or against... perceived arrogance, various things like that. There's a whole history, a whole long, proud history of pieing throughout the ages. In fact, you know, I even met Pie Man. Pie Man was the guy in New York City that I guess pied the most people.
Pie Man.
Yeah, Pie Man. He's down in the
that
village.
That was his like, claim to fame or his specialty was pieing.
Yeah, he came to hacker meetings.
Wow.
He actually did. I think he's still around. I don't know if he's pieing anybody lately, but the thing is, what bothers me is that if you were to pie somebody today, or by somebody, I mean somebody in authority, someone political,
okay.
You'd be charged as a terrorist probably. Things would happen to you that were undreamed of back in the 60s and 70s, the heyday of pieing. In fact, I remember... On these very radio airwaves, one of our former presidents, name of John Toll, was dedicating the Bridge to Nowhere, which I think they opened it so that it went someplace else it wasn't originally going to go.
Okay.
So there was this ribbon-cutting ceremony, and he got pied just as he was cutting the ribbon, and it was live over the air on USB. We had to describe it because you couldn't see it, but I think he could have figured out by the sound effects what was going on.
And the commotion thereafter.
You know, you have all this whipped cream on your face, and, you know, you basically lick it off, and it's a measure of what a good sport you are. But these days, you know, it's just not the same.
I think also people would mistake it. There would be that anxiety that, oh, well, we would mistake it for some sort of active shooter or, you know, whatever.
How do you mistake a whipped cream pie for an active shooter?
It's that type of edge, I think, the fear uh-huh. levels that we're at as a nation. I think that's what's replaced the sense of humor.
Sounds like we need a bunch of pies flying around to
it would be good.
Lighten the mood just a little bit.
Bring it back a little, yeah.
And it's good for the pie makers, too, because they've been suffering lately with digitization and all that.
Don't they use shaving cream sometimes?
Oh, I wouldn't know about that. I think that goes back to the 30s or when whipped cream was a luxury. they might have done. Yeah, shaving cream in the face. Well, I guess you could shave then, I suppose.
It would fool them, but they'd lick it, and then they'd be like, "Oh no, it's shaving cream."
Why can't they make shaving cream taste good? And
oh
then,
wow!
No, then you could have dessert every morning when you're shaving. What's wrong with that? That's a brilliant idea.
As long as you don't eat hair. That would be funny, though, flavored shaving cream. Why don't they have that?
Seriously, folks, if you listen to this show, you'll get so many good ideas that we're too lazy to pursue. So you go out there to the patent office and have fun, but just remember us.
That's like quintessentially American, is like flavored shaving cream. I guess I want you to focus, like, this is hygiene, and this is food. And, you know
the line between those two gets thinner every year. So I don't think that's much of a barrier anymore. Oh yeah, I got to ask you, what in God's name is going on?
To what going on are you referring?
You know what I'm talking about. This is just out of control.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I am completely befuddled and perplexed.
What are you
referring? I've never...
Where?
You know, if you give me to the end of time, I will not be able to figure people out. I just will not be able to. If I had every word at my disposal and unlimited ink to write it all down, I don't think I could capture my confusion or try to explain just what it is that's happening.
Okay. Do you know, when you hear about people talking about politics, you talk about somebody who's so conservative that they go around and they become liberal, or vice versa. They're so liberal that they go around
they meet and they themselves. Become, yeah.
That's, you know, there's so many things in this spherical
mm-hmm.
earth.
Mm-hmm.
That we habitate.
It's a round planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is cyclical in mm-hmm. many ways, just like day and night and the years. And
you can't have cyclical without sick. Yeah.
Yeah, it is sick, too.
Uh-huh.
But I will say that these things, these cycles, we've also talked about, I've said this a lot, I know, in the last couple of months, that politics is very much like an ebb and a flow of certain leanings going one way, then the other way, and you get certain people in power, then other people in power, different sides. That's what we've done with our binary as far as political parties. And I think there's a lot of parallels in many different things, including tragedy.
Yeah, okay, you could say that. You could say that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it goes one way, and then it goes another way, and here we are right at now another crisis, on top of a crisis, on top of a crisis, on top of a crisis.
Oh, you're talking about the serious topic. We're going to get to the serious topic.
Well, I was trying to think about what thing that's going on that you were referring to. I presumed that the major loss of life in the last couple of days has been your chief concern.
Well, yeah, but okay, yes, my chief concern, but you don't start with that, you end with that.
Okay, well,
that's what they tell us in radio school.
It's no more so than I guess we're used to at this point, but start with your light.
It's not light either.
Nice,
it's just not tragic. It's just perplexing, like I said, befuddling and all that. You know, okay.
Give me a hint, at least, so at least we can talk about the same thing. That'd be probably enjoyable for
everyone. Okay, you know, Kyle, have you noticed? We've been driving around the last couple of days, and the last couple of times that we...
Oh, my gosh! No, I know. I know now.
Now you know?
Oh.
Okay.
No.
Tell me.
This state, what about village rights? That's all I want to know.
I have a feeling we're veering into a different topic. Go ahead. I want to hear this.
Okay. Oh, wait. Now I don't know. Okay. All right. I'm going to stop guessing.
You're going to go on your village rights rant? Is that what you're going to do? Or?
Well, I just think that, you know, I thought we were talking about signage now.
Signage is another thing. Oh, okay. You want to talk about that? That's
well, down by the ferry.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you should bring that up. By the Port Jefferson Ferry, there's a big Welcome to New York sign that they just put up. Like, massive. There was one before, but we weren't quite so desperate welcoming people. And they put up three more littler signs only for people driving westbound on Route 25A. They don't care about people going any other directions. But it's funny that you should mention that, because that is exactly the place that I was referring to, but not that subject at all.
Okay, because my third idea of what you're referring to is that they weed whack the signs out by Stony Brook and 25A. So you can see what's...
No.
Those are the only other signs or...
That's a different topic for a different show.
Or, you know, maintenance things.
No.
Okay.
Let's go back to Port Jefferson Village, okay?
Okay, what's going on there?
Right there. We've been driving through there the last couple of days, and every time we drive through there...
Is this the license plate reader?
Every time we drive through there, we make a comment. We notice something. What have we been noticing lately?
The throngs of humans?
Throngs of humans. And what are these throngs of humans doing?
Human creatures? Oh, my gosh. They're all on their smartphones.
They're all staring at their damn phones.
Honestly, not one. I mean, if you see one person who's not on a phone, it's because they just put it away or they're about to reach for it.
Now, I was asking, why are these people always talking to other people instead of the people they're with? How come they never hang out with the people they want to hang out with? They're always talking to somebody else on their damn phone. What's up with that? And you know what? I've been doing some detective work. You might have seen me doing that earlier with my hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I uncovered something. This is going on all over the place. There is this ridiculous, crazy fad called Pokemon Go, and it's overrunning college campuses everywhere. Listen to this. The University of Wisconsin at Madison got a call on Saturday saying a group of bicyclists on the campus had their heads buried in their smartphones and were weaving in and out of traffic. Since late last week, officials at colleges across the country have noticed the swift adoption of the game, Pokemon Go, which players download onto their mobile phones. Now, students who might appear to be aimlessly wandering have actually been exploring their campuses, desperately looking for Pokemon, as the characters in the game are known, and congregating around Poke stops, where they reload on supplies such as Pokeballs, an essential tool for catching Pokemon. And this is going on everywhere. They're making Poke stops. I think that's how you say it. And you go there with your smartphone, you're walking around. You know, there's an article in the new issue of 2600 about this, and I think it's the first time I heard about it, where you basically use your phone and travel places and get points that way. It's augmented reality. They use a GPS device in the smartphone to track your location, creates a whole virtual Pokemon world on the screen, and they explore the physical surroundings, various characters appear. The goal is to capture them. Now, colleges are embracing the trend, according to this news story. They're taking steps also, though, to make sure their campus communities remain safe, using social media to urge players to be aware of their surroundings. The University of Central Florida's police department went so far as to advertise via Twitter that its shuttle services were available to students who were playing Pokemon Go on campus late at night. I repeat, I don't know what's going on. I'm so perplexed and befuddled by this. Why do people care? I've been hearing about Pokemon. I just thought basically it was a revival of the old Pokemon, whatever that was. I didn't understand it then either. But this is something that I really don't get. People are downloading this onto their phone and wasting their lives running around, staring at their phone, collecting things. And what do they get for it? What do they get in the end?
I don't think anything at all. But it doesn't make it right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That does not make it right. That people are wandering around with their smartphones out everywhere, every single person.
I think that's what we were saying.
The Pokemon Go has to be... No, the combined power, the resources of all those devices is amazing. And the fact is that is taking away from actual interaction that could be going on. And it does not... I don't care what game it is. It's not right. I mean, it's a beautiful, nice day. You shouldn't be
but
endangering yourself in intersections.
People are outside. People are outside, at least. They're not just playing inside on a video game. They're risking their lives in traffic now.
So why I think this is popular, I had no idea it was popular with college students, but my theory would be a lot of those people that are in school now, maybe that are freshmen in college, they maybe grew up with Pokemon, and it's being sort of rebooted in this way through an app on a smartphone.
According to one of the spokespeople for one of the campus police departments, half of the community was tweeting about what was going on in Dallas. The other half was tweeting about Pokemon Go, because the campus police monitor Twitter feeds of the students, too, which is a whole other thing. So some people are viewing this trend as a good thing. As I said, people who tend to stay indoors are now going outside more often, meeting people, exploring their campuses. Students are really walking around campus a lot more, says one person. I feel like they're ironically becoming more aware of things that are on campus because they have to walk to these different Pokestops. That's apparently what they... But get this. At the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, the controversial Confederate statue, Silent Sam, serves as one such Pokestop. So who determines where the stops are? That's what I'd like to know. How do you do that? Do you get to put stops in various places? I mean, how could you put a stop in your house? Can you lure all these people? Let's say you're a predator or a mass killer or something like that. Yeah, think about that, folks. Do you know where your next Pokestop is? Who's in charge? Who's running Pokemon?
Always know your supplier. Know where you're getting your Poke from.
And this final tweet from the University of Washington, University of Wisconsin, rather, at Madison Police. Dear everyone, watch where you are walking. Pokemon aren't worth it. Hugs. Hugs, UWPD. Yeah, I like it when cops say hugs. I think that's kind of cool.
Cops need to give out more hugs.
And that sort of brings us into the serious topic of the show tonight, which is, of course, the tragedy that happened in Dallas, the tragedies that happened in numerous cities, starting with Baton Rouge.
Yeah,
and,
Baton Rouge.
Then up in Minnesota, and then the horrible actions that took place in Dallas. You know, the actions of one deranged person who got out of the military a lot worse than the way he went in. And, you know, yet again we see the effects that sending people into these war zones might have on them, especially if they've got some issues that aren't resolved. This guy saw cops, specifically white cops, as the enemy and sought to eliminate them. And the country seems rather fractured in many ways. Although Obama gave an amazing speech today at the memorial service for the five cops that got killed, and I think that's something that we need to hear. We need to put down the rhetoric for a little while on each side. There shouldn't even be sides. I don't know what people are arguing about. You know, it's obvious that there's racism in law enforcement. You can't say that. I mean, there was a study that came out today saying that blacks are something like four times as likely to be harassed by police, like physically forced to do things by police, than whites. All right, now that's not twice as much. That's four times as much. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. That's a big problem, and you have to acknowledge that. And you can't say, "Oh, it's because they're committing a lot of crimes." That's not it. If you say that, you're buying into the same racism, and you need to understand that because it's just so wrong.
Or that you're going to stop racial profiling, which is not doing anything about inherent bias.
Right.
And that, I think, is what has been unearthed and where the conversation has gone.
Because you go into a situation with preconceived notions, you treat people in a particular way, and it leads to situations that never should have occurred. These two people that were killed last week, one day right after another, they were doing nothing wrong. They were following orders. Not that I really go for being ordered to do things by people who feel they have the authority to tell you that. It's just really, really frustrating to see these things happen. And to know that with a little sensitivity, a little training, a little education, a little interaction, that they can be avoided. People can have better understanding. And again, this goes on all sides, because preconceived notions follow us everywhere. If you see a cop and you view the cop as the enemy, you're doing the same thing.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember? You remember when we were driving in Seattle, that cop that stopped us because you had some kind of dim taillight?
My taillight is old. Okay.
Not saying there's anything wrong with your taillight.
Flickering.
It was weird.
It was not in all the way. It needed a little bit of electrolytic compound.
She pulled us over.
Or grease.
And immediately said, "It's no big deal. Just wanted to let you know." Like, immediately, just set us at ease. We had nothing to be worried about. But when you stop by cops, you're always a bit apprehensive, even if you're completely innocent. But by just setting the tone as "I'm here to help you," and being friendly, made things so much better. When you don't have that, you know, if she had approached the situation in a completely different manner, confrontational, well, then we would have been in a completely different frame of mind, and things would have gone in a different direction. And when you look at the various interactions that take place in this country between citizens and the police, many times it does not start out on that friendly note. It starts out on something a lot more combative.
Especially if you've had bad interactions with the police in the past, and if you have a record of any kind,
mm-hmm.
those particulars affect you as an individual. You become institutionalized if you've been in prison, if you've been to jail, if you've been in handcuffs.
But you're judged based on that. You're judged if they look at your record and say, "Oh, this guy's got a record. Okay, I'm gonna treat him differently now." But imagine being judged without the person even knowing you or talking to you at all, just by the color of your skin.
Yep.
You have to live through that every single day.
Yep.
How does that affect you as a human being? We can't possibly know.
Nope.
We can't ever know that. Unless the tables completely turn around.
You can empathize.
Yeah, we can empathize. That's the best we can hope for. And if you don't understand that, you're missing something very, very crucial in this whole discussion, that there is another America in our country that many of us don't even realize is there. And that is what leads to the hostility, the suspicion, and the massive gaps that exist now. And they have to be closed. We saw the tragedy that took place in Dallas, and I guess many of us realized, hey, cops are people too. And I think that's really what we have to focus on. It might sound obvious. Of course, cops are people. But, you know, many times they don't act like people. They act like soldiers or superheroes, people that you can't possibly relate to. You just have to obey whatever they tell you and stay out of their way. That's not healthy. It's not healthy for us. It's not healthy for them. They're human beings just like we are. They are we. They are us. The thing is, the two cops that killed the innocent men last week were humans too. And I think in at least one of those instances, they panicked. It was a mistake, you know. But they're human. They panic. Unfortunately, they're given so much power that they can take away your life when they panic, and that's not right. That should not be allowed to happen. But to not treat them as human beings, to say they're the ultimate authority, it puts tremendous pressure on them, and they make bad moves and wrong decisions. But it also puts us in a very bad place, too, because we have to look at these people as the decider, as somebody with ultimate judgment, and that's not what a free society needs.
Indeed, indeed. Well put. So, where do we go from here?
I ask what you think.
Yes, yes. Where do we go? I don't know. It's definitely changed the discussion a lot, and we always say that after these kinds of things. And we should see cops as a resource, and not constantly look from one side or the other at other of our citizenry as adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
That contributes. That attitude contributes to war zones being in our street, you know, us creating the environment for that war zone type of circumstance in the streets, in the counties and villages.
It is many times it is treated that way as war zones. Cops have tanks and all kinds of weaponry, and the populace is made to feel like they're under occupation, and that's not healthy. It's not healthy at all.
Have you looked into any of the discussion over the talk, the conversation that people are talking about, what black parents, the conversation they have with their sons? I read an interesting article about that,
mm-hmm.
and the kinds of things that they're having to say to their children to deal with the police. Now, when I was younger, I was always taught to refer to the police as officer,
mm-hmm.
and be polite and courteous and respectful. I was not told to curl up in a ball and take hits and kicks
uh-huh.
and abuse.
Uh-huh.
I was not... there's certain things...
Wait, is that what they're telling their kids?
There's
up in a
some
ball?
Really interesting stories. Don't wear hoodies, for example.
Don't wear hoodies.
Yeah, nobody ever said, you know, don't wear a certain type of clothing because you might interact with the police as a teenager. That was never something that I had to deal with. So it's really interesting what kinds of young people were raising as a result of this terrible terrible inequity, this kind of treatment and attitude,
mm-hmm.
this ideology, this attitude of supremacy, of putting cops on a pedestal like that. And I think we can't give them as much power either.
Exactly. Putting them on a pedestal, I think, is so unhealthy because it gives them the power to do anything they want, and you have no power at all. And, you know, in actuality, they're working for us. In these demonstrations, I cannot for the life of me understand why people were being arrested at these demonstrations. What, blocking traffic? Really? How long were we stuck behind that construction the other day on the Grand Central Parkway? Did we want to arrest the construction workers for stopping traffic for half an hour? You know, it's an inconvenience. It happens. It's a cost of democracy. Sometimes people want to get out there and make themselves heard, and it blocks traffic. Boo-hoo. Okay, let's get on with life. Arresting people for that when it's already this emotionally tinged atmosphere does not help at all. Now, you know, let's do this. Let's ask questions of, since we still have sides, let's ask questions of each side. Let's ask the demonstrators, at what point do you think somebody should be arrested? What's the answer? What do you think they will say? Will they say, never, no one should ever be arrested? No, they won't say that. They'll say when someone's doing something violent, when someone is...
endangering themselves or endangering others.
Exactly. Something reasonable like that. Hey, we can agree on that. There's some common ground right there. Now, cops, let's ask the cops. At what point do you turn your fellow officer in? At what point do you say, this can't stand? I am not going to just blindly defend this guy when he clearly did something wrong.
By association.
Yeah, what point do you say you've crossed the line? All right, if there is no point... you shouldn't be a cop. You're not a good cop.
Yeah.
And that happens so often. It's it doesn't have to happen all the time, but it happens enough where you have the blue line that nobody crosses.
Yeah.
And that's why you have situations like what we saw. I forget which one it was. I think it was the Minnesota case where the guy was killed in his car, and the other cops were helping the cop who shot him, not the person who was dying in the car.
Yeah.
And you see things like that, you know, getting their story straight, that is wrong. That is completely wrong. So when we realize that, you know, when cops realize that's wrong, when demonstrators realize, hey, cops do serve a purpose and they're, you know, they're helping us, not that they've shown that in the last week, but when we see them in that way and when they see us in that way, we might make some progress, you know? And that's why when I say overseas in Europe, cops seem more human. It's because, yeah, sometimes they do wind up in the thick of things with demonstrators, and they're not this impenetrable force. Sometimes they lose. Sometimes they retreat. Sometimes, you know, the people demonstrating win, and they're seen as human beings. I just think it's healthier.
I think the demonstrators in Europe are more practiced in a lot of ways.
They've been doing it longer, yeah. That's true.
But, absolutely, yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah, it has to be something where we see the human side of each other. A lot has been made the human side of one another, and but also a lot is made about the split second thinking that cops have to do. They have to make 1,000 decisions, you know, come up with 1,000 scenarios at once, and that was being said a lot.
It was.
Well, why can't they apply that thinking to one another?
Okay. Yes.
You know, when they overhear something, or when they see certain interactions, or when they roll up on a scene like that, why is that quick thinking not something they can apply to justice?
There's a lot of quick thinking going on when they shot the kid in Cleveland at
right.
the playground. You know,
right.
they must have been thinking a mile a minute when they shot him in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But oftentimes when you think that fast, you don't think right. You don't think rationally.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that out of what you were saying is the critical thinking all the way around, all of us really ought to apply critical thinking to our actions, to what we're saying, and find that that unity, that clarity in this moment, because there's definitely work to be done.
It's an opportunity, you know. It's just like 9/11 was an opportunity to bring the world together that we completely wasted. This is an opportunity to bring fractured sides together in this country, and maybe do some healing. Seeing cops as people, having them see themselves as being human, as being part of the community, interacting with the community more, that's something that can only benefit us. If you're somebody who is demonstrating against the cops, ask yourself, do you have any cop friends? Have you ever had a pleasant exchange with a cop? If the answer to either of those is no, that's something I think you need to work on. I think it's something that if you were able to say yes to that, you'd be able to relate more and get someplace. And at the same time, do cops interact with the people they allegedly serve? You know, do they spend time in the neighborhood as non-uniformed people just hanging out? Do they like the places that they work in? The answer is no, that's not healthy either.
Yeah, can they only look at that service as finding and defeating enemies?
Yeah,
bad guys.
A friend of mine used to work in an electronics store, and he used to tell stories about the customers and how stupid they were, always asking these ridiculous questions. And every single customer walked up to him eventually just got this contempt for. And cops can be the same way. When they deal with people in negative ways, soon every interaction becomes negative, and soon every face becomes a potential negative interaction.
And then you're exploiting things and passing the time through corruption and stuff because you're bored.
Yeah, yeah. If you detest the people you serve, stop serving them. Seriously. All right, there's a lot of healing to do and a lot of discussion to have. But I want to just focus on a couple of stories here because, like I said, we don't live in an equal society. We live in a society where we put people on pedestals and assume they can do no wrong and ignore a lot of the things that happen. And that there's a price for that. There is a big price for that. Here's a story of a cop that was involved in a road rage killing. Well, he's been stripped of his badge and gun. Yeah, he's been stripped of his badge and gun after a grainy security camera videotape appeared to cast doubt on an initial account of what happened. Officer Wayne Isaacs was placed on modified assignment within the New York Police Department, and the State Attorney General's office is investigating whether his use of deadly force in the off-duty slaying of an unarmed motorist was justified. The shooting of Delron Small occurred on July 4th in Brooklyn. I heard about this when it happened. While Isaacs was on the road in civilian clothes but still carrying a handgun, which is a common practice of off-duty NYPD officers, Small's girlfriend told police he was angry because he thought Isaacs had cut him off and got out of his car at a stoplight to confront the officer. I remember hearing about this, hearing how this guy attacked the cop and how the cop shot him in self-defense. You know, basically was punching him in his car or something like that, and I was wondering, okay, that's the story, but what are you? Obviously, you can't talk to the guy who's dead. You can only talk to the guy who survives. So, is that really all the evidence there is? Well, apparently, that's all that was needed. But based on a preliminary investigation early last week, police initially said they believed Isaacs opened fire after Small reached through an open driver's side window and punched the officer while he sat behind the wheel of his car. That's what I described. But the short black and white video, which surfaced on the internet, appears to show Small getting hit by gunfire the moment he walks up to the car window, with no clear indication that he first assaulted the officer. Now, he can be seen recoiling and stumbling around before collapsing. The officer briefly exits his car, looks in the fallen man's direction, but then returns to the car without offering any assistance or doing anything like that. And so, yes, because of a video, yet again, the story that was initially believed by the cop is shown to be completely false. And justice has been served. He has been stripped of his badge and gun and is on desk assignment now. Isn't that something? Yeah. Not even in jail. Just on desk. It's still being paid. Still just not out there where he can kill more people.
That's sick. It's sick that using that narrative, this big black man came and grabbed me through the window and oh my, all this balderdash. And just shows these guys to be scared and cowards.
You're not convinced? Okay. Well, I have more for you, Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not convinced. Right. Did you hear the story about this? Up in Rome, New York. The four-month-old baby of a central New York police officer died after being left inside a vehicle where outside temperatures were roughly 80 degrees. Oneida County Sheriff's deputies say Rome police officer Mark Fantarillo found baby Michael inside the vehicle on a Monday afternoon. The child was rushed to Rome Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Authorities say Michael was left in his father's vehicle for an extended period of time. Michael's father, a 10-year veteran of the Rome Police Department, was responsible for watching him at the time. No charges have been filed. Tragedy. Now, here's another story out of Iowa. A father has been charged after police say his infant son died due to being left in a hot car unattended for an extended period of time on Saturday. Approximately 7:45 p.m., Des Moines police responded to investigate a report of a suspicious child death. Upon arrival, officers learned that a six-month-old infant had died after allegedly being left alone in a parked vehicle. Now, there's a picture of the guy in the newspaper, and he's a black guy. Immediately charged, thrown in jail for leaving his kid in the car. Cop does the same exact damn thing. No charges have been filed. You know, and it's just, that's business as usual. No one's even raising questions about this. Oh, it's a tragedy. We should feel sorry for the cop. He made a mistake. Big black guy did it. Send him to jail. You know?
Negligence.
And CPS. That basic, if you look at any comment board,
right,
you will see that is the reaction. That is the default reaction of so many people. In fact, you know, I was doing this. I was looking at, I don't know why I do it, but I look at the Newsday comment board. And it's, I don't know how Newsday attracts so many racist pigs. Because their writing doesn't really reflect that.
Right.
But the people who respond to it are the scum of the earth. And even before the tragedy of Dallas, 100%, I am not exaggerating, 100% of the comments that were posted about the stories of the shootings in Baton Rouge and in Minnesota were against the motorists, the innocent motorists who were killed by the cops. 100% said they deserved it. All right? That is the mentality that surrounds us. It's not fiction. It's not exaggeration.
Yeah, it's like
real.
It's this armchair Jim Crow, like tobacco spitting, like just commentary, peanut gallery of vitriol.
I'm just saying what everybody else is thinking. You know,
right,
I'm just being honest. And now they have Donald Trump batting for them.
Yeah, he validates all of that.
He didn't say a word about either of the shootings, by the way. Not one word. When Dallas happened, all over the media.
Yep.
Couldn't stop. And, you know, this is not, don't mistake this for saying that we should not feel bad for what happened in Dallas. We should feel horrible about that. That is, there was nobody I can think of in the Black Lives Matter movement that would say that was something that was deserved or that is not a tragedy. But to see them being blamed simply for standing up for their rights as causing that to happen because of the actions of one isolated lunatic, that to me is the most offensive thing I could imagine. You know, what are you saying? People should just accept racism? They should just accept being the victim because if they criticize in any way, they might cause somebody else somewhere to get angry and do something bad? You know, that is just so incredibly wrong and unhealthy. There's this other story in Minneapolis. You might not have heard about this one. The women's basketball, WNBA, the Minnesota Lynx, they have a team called Minnesota Lynx.
L-Y-N-X.
Members of that team, God bless them, wore T-shirts seeking change following the deaths of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling. I haven't said their names before. They were the two men who were shot last week.
Right.
They were both fatally shot by police officers. When they wore shirts that basically said, change starts with us, justice and accountability.
Okay.
And on the back, they had The back of the shirts feature. Okay, listen to this. The back of the shirts featured the names of Castile and Sterling, the Dallas Police Department shield.
Okay.
And at the bottom, Black Lives Matter.
These were like over their basketball jerseys, or
I don't know how they did it exactly. See, one of them wearing it. It's just a
Okay, that's a T-shirt. That's like a T-shirt that they probably put over a uniform.
Yeah, now that to me is a very positive statement. First of all, at the front, change starts with us, justice and accountability. Who can argue with that?
Yeah.
But on the back, I wasn't even aware of this until I just read this now. First of all, the names of the two innocent men that were killed, but also the Dallas Police Department shield, you know, in memory to the tragedy there.
Right.
And at the bottom, Black Lives Matter, which, you know, if you disagree with that statement, you really have to start asking yourself, who am I? Why? Why would I disagree with something so obvious? Of course, Black Lives Matter. It should be bland. It should be Black Lives Always Matter, you know? I think they should go with that. But
And you should also ask, why is it taking me so long to get this?
Exactly. They should hand these things out in kindergarten. Everybody should wear Black Lives Matter. Of course, but it's obvious. But cops took offense. And four off-duty Minneapolis police officers who were working security for Saturday's Lynx game elected to simply leave their job over the player's stance. And the president of the Minneapolis Police Federation said, I commend them for it. Yeah, I commend them for it. Others said they heard about it. They were not going to work Lynx games either. Four cops have taken their name off the list of officers who will work future games. When asked by the Star Tribune if other officers will replace those that quit, the president of the Minneapolis Police Federation said, if the players are going to keep their stance, all officers may refuse to work there. So this is a big part of the problem, that simply stating an opinion, even if it's an opinion that you violently disagree with, that's enough for you to simply walk away from your responsibilities, your sworn responsibilities to protect, if you don't like the message. But to be offended by this message, I mean, really? This message offends you. Something that actually has the shield of the police department that lost five people, but also the victims of police action that was completely unjustified. If you can't say that action was unjustified, there's definitely something wrong there. You're not capable of seeing when somebody that you work with is a threat. That's going to lead to more problems. And here's something else, too, which we learned when all this started happening. The Dallas police chief has had some very interesting things to say. In fact, you know, Obama was commending Dallas police earlier, and I've heard a lot of good things, actually, about what they've attempted to do as far as reaching the community, and I hope that's true. You know, I hope that we have some positive things to look at. It turns out that when there is a mass shooting such as what was happening in Dallas, having open carry really confuses the hell out of everybody. and the police are the first ones saying this now. It's when you have people running around with guns, you can't tell who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And that made it very, very difficult for the cops to figure out what was going on. Now, you had other instances, too. You had the guy whose name and picture was flashed all over the media as suspect number one. You had that going on. Black guy with a gun, okay, he's got to be the suspect. In actuality, no. Black guy carrying a gun, like you say, everybody has the right to in a place like Texas. We saw, unintentionally, this guy made a great point that it's not the case when you're black. When you carry a gun and you're black, you become a suspect. Carry a gun and you're white, just like all those white people who came into Ferguson, Missouri, last year with guns to protect the community. Nobody suspected them of anything. Different rules for different races. Yet another example. And that was something, actually, that Dallas police, I think, didn't do right. They didn't take down that sign with his face on it for, I think, a day afterwards.
Yeah, that was pretty careless.
It was very careless. But the fact of the matter is, and what we learned from all this, is that, when everybody is carrying guns, it doesn't make things safer at all. It just makes things a lot more confusing. And the police are the ones saying this. You should listen to them. I think that's pretty much. I mean, there's more stories on this, and this goes on for forever, really. There's just so much to analyze and think about and study. But the one thing we can't do is just fall back into the old rhetoric and take sides, because there are no sides here. We're all in this together in one way or another. We're all humans, and we're all confused, and we're all being misled. And we're all suspicious and fearful, and that's where we have to come together and figure out how to stop it.
Yeah, I think finding those alliances, you have strength in that. Strength through unity, strength through being open to the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some phone calls. If you'd like to write us.
Yeah, I only have 1 minute left, so I don't think we have enough time to go into delay and come back
and
survive the attempt.
Yeah, exactly. I'm afraid we're just not going to have enough time for you this evening, but you can write us, and if you want to, otw@2600.com. It's a great place to email us, otw@2600.com.
If we got more mail, we'd take more phone calls. How about that?
Yeah, that's right. And I know someone before the show also tried to call us. So those two callers, we missed you this week.
The phone rang twice today.
Terribly sorry. Yeah.
Wow. It's a big day here at USB.
We enjoy it. We love your calls. And, if we had another minute or two or ten, we would.
Yeah, blame the timekeeper, okay? The person in charge of the master clock, wherever that is. It's compressing things too much, and hours just aren't as long as they used to be.
I can play the ID I was going
to
play.
This is Dylan from Cinema Arts Center, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
You thought that was Bob Dylan, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought
it was
Bob
Dylan.
Dylan
ID. It's not. Yes.
Dylan CAC, Stony Brook Arts Center. Anyway, for Off the Wall, and I'm Kyle.
We can play this music underneath us. That's the whole point of it being an instrumental. We're supposed to talk smoothly over this.
And that's Emmanuel over there.
Yes, and we're here to say goodnight now. We would like to know what you think. Unfortunately, we don't have time to take phone calls. It's also a pain in the ass taking phone calls. You know why? Because they can't hear me, and I've got to either lean over your shoulder or shout, and they're both awkward.
You know, it won't be like that, though, in our new place.
The new place, yes.
When we get a new place.
The cinder blocks in the parking lot that we keep seeing.
Well, they added some scaffolding and I think a wheelbarrow. So maybe they're going to mix up some cement and turn those cinder blocks into a station.
Well, that would be good. Or, like I suggested, putting the station in the back of a Ryder truck and just driving around. I think that would be cool, too. And soundproof as well.
With some megaphones?
If you want to do that.
What's up with the Stony Brook sound system? I think WUSB should build a sound system.
Just for the whole campus.
Just for the station to do live PAs. Just a massive, massive sound system.
You know, we have a PA that pretends it's a clock tower. Yeah, it plays gongs, but it's not really... I don't know why they don't just put a clock tower in.
I'm talking about
through a loudspeaker. How tacky is that?
I'm talking about it fits in a truck. Like a whole truck we just turn into a big sound system on the back.
Okay, I'm listening. You know what? Let's talk about this after the show. Maybe next week we'll have some progress in this project.
All right. We need some wood.
Okay, Finn's up next. Let's unlock the door and let him in.
This song will give you some ideas. All right, good night, everybody.